නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස We were discussing Mahamalunkya Putta Sutta. Actually, this is available in the Majjhima Nikaya, 64th Sutta. And the occasion is where Buddha wants to teach the lower five fetters. There are altogether 10 fetters, and among them, five fetters are the ones binding us to the lower realms. So basically to the human realm, hell realms, and to the heavenly realms. So they are considered as the lower realms. Basically the sensual desire is fairly predominant. And till we have that, so we are unable to go beyond that. So basically these five fetters are grabbing us or binding us to these lower fetters. And therefore it is mentioned that one can overcome these five fetters, and so that we can be free from these five fetters and then go to the higher realms. Even though one is able to go to the higher realms with five fetters, but it does not guarantee that you won't come back. You are able to come back, so that is the sort of disadvantage. But if one is completely free from lower fetters, then one can be reborn in a higher realm, but that is typically called as what we call as pure abodes. But on the other hand, if one is able to completely overcome all 10 fetters, then there is no rebirth and one becomes an arahant. So we'll discuss about all the fetters in detail maybe later, but now Buddha is emphasizing about the five lower fetters, and so that is very much the discussion. So on one occasion, so Buddha is asking, verifying with the monks, if they have a thorough understanding about these lower fetters. And then Venerable Malunkya Putta, being an old monk but interested in Dhamma, and again seems like a little academic, and so he gives an answer, yes, I know about the five lower fetters, and then he just give a kind of account of that, just name them. But the Buddha was not happy. So the five fetters, the names are identity view, sakkāyaditti, doubt is the vichikicchā, adherence to rules and observances, so that is the sīlabbata parāmāsa, and then sensual desire, kāmarāga, and then ill will, the paṭiga. So these are the five lower fetters where people get bound to the lower realms. And so after giving this answer, Buddha was not happy, and he mentioned particularly that someone can refute this answer, telling then even an infant, a newly born infant, does not have these five fetters, because so that is one interesting way that Buddha is refuting the answer, telling that if you consider a typical very early stage, just born infant, so he is in a way a little happy mood. He doesn't have any kind of an identity view, he doesn't have a name, and he doesn't know where he is, and all these personality related matters are still not involved. So then Buddha mentioned, then one can say this infant also doesn't have personality view. But Buddha highlights here, he still has a kind of a lying or sort of hidden tendency to personality view. So that is very much like a potential available in his mind. So after he become an adult, slowly, so this personality view is slowly developing, growing, and ultimately he become fully engulfed with the personality view, fully involved with personality view. And on the other hand, Buddha mentioned the other fetters as well. So today actually I thought of considering more about the first fetter, what we call as a sakkāya ditti, the personality view. So Sakkaya Ditti. So this is a very interesting point where people are so concerned about, because they very well know Sakkaya Ditti is one important fetter which is binding us to the lower realms, as well as it is the one mainly avoiding us getting to stream meaning stage, to the Sotapanna state. So personality view is actually discussed to some extent in various suttas. So let me select another sutta which explains that. So it is called a kind of a discussion happened between with Venerable Visakha, or rather the Grahapati Visakha, and Dhammadinna the Arahant. So I thought of discussing that a little bit. So there actually you can see there's a discussion between Visakha and Dhammadinna. He's asking what is Sakkaya. So before we go into Sakkaya Ditti, let us little discuss about Sakkaya. So what is Sakkaya? Sakkaya, so Sakkaya, Samudayo, and here first he is asking Sakkayo Sakkayo ti aye ucchati katannuko aye Sakkayo butto bhagavatati. So there are the term Sakkaya, Sakkaya. So what is really the Buddha mentioned as Sakkaya? So they are this Venerable Dhammadinna, she being an Arahant Bhikkhuni. So she is answering, telling that the five clinging aggregates are the Sakkaya. So the identity view is therefore strongly bound with the identity, these four or five clinging aggregates. So we know that there are five clinging aggregates: Rupa Upadana Kanda, the form aggregate, and then the Vedana Upadana Kanda, that is the feeling aggregate, then Sanya Upadana Kanda, perceptions aggregate, then Sankhara Upadana Kanda, that is the formations aggregate, then the Vijnana Upadana Kanda, consciousness aggregate. So these are the clinging aggregates we all are somewhat familiar with. The problem is, anyway, that we are clinging to them. They alone does not make any problem, but as we clinging to them, then there are many issues going to come up. Now, when this Venerable Dhammadinna answer that Sakkaya Panchako ime auso visaka upadana kanda Sakkaya utta bhagavata. So these five clinging aggregates is what Buddha mentioned as the Sakkaya. So now Visakha is asking what is the beginning, or what is the arising of this Sakkaya. Sakkaya Samudayo. So what is Buddha mentioned about the Sakkaya Samudayo? How this five clinging aggregates are arising? So then when Dhammadinna is answering that the Tanha. Katannuko ayye Sakkaya Samudayo butto Bhagavata. And then Venerable Dhammadinna is answering Tanha Pono Bhavika Nandiraga Sahagata Tatra Taddhabi Nandini Sayyatidam Kama Tanha Bhava Tanha Vibhava Tanha Ayanko Auso Visaka Sakkaya Samudayo Vutto Bhagavata. So Sakkaya Samudaya, the beginning or the arising, the generation of this Sakkaya, the five clinging aggregates, is basically because of the craving. So that is, I just want to give a little theoretical background of this subject. So basically, according to this sutta, so Sakkaya is nothing but the five clinging aggregates, and the cause to generate these five clinging aggregates is nothing but craving, tanha, that is of three forms: kama tanha, bhava tanha, vibhava tanha. So sensual desire, desire to become, and desire to get rid of. So these are the three forms of craving. They are the cause of the clinging aggregates, or we can say the clinging happens because of craving. Now then Visakha is asking another question: Sakkaya nirodho ti ayye vuchati kathamo nuko ayye Sakkaya nirodho. So how this Sakkaya nirodha, what is Sakkaya nirodha? So how this cessation of sakkhaya happens, how the cessation of identity view happens, how the cessation of this five clinging aggregates happen. Then actually Venerable Dhammadinna is answering that is because when one is able to completely eradicate craving, then only the cessation of sakkhaya happens. Yoko avaso visaka tasye eva tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho chago patinissaggo mutti analayo ayanko avaso visaka sakkhaya nirodho utto bhagavata. So the sakkhaya nirodha happens when one is able to completely uproot, completely eradicate craving and asesa viraga nirodho without any remainder, and that is how one is able to give up, relinquish and free from this sakkaya. Then that is the sakkaya nirodha, cessation of sakkaya. And then he is asking, so what is the path? Sakkaya nirodha gamini patipada. So what is the sakkaya nirodha gamini patipada? A path leading to the cessation of the sakkaya. Then of course she is answering that ariyo attangiko maggo sakkaya nirodha gamini patipada. So that is what Buddha mentioned, telling that the path leading to the cessation of suffering or cessation of sakkaya, cessation of this five clinging aggregates is the Noble Eightfold Path. Now, so that is somewhat a little theoretical background, and now actually the main question he is asking, so that is the main question, that the how sakkaya ditti happens. Now sakkaya is one thing and then the sakkaya ditti happens. So basically we need to understand that the sakkaya ditti is the personality view, we can say, and how this ditti form comes out. So basically it is not immediately that we are getting some kind of a view, a wrong view, but it's a kind of a general or gradual arising of a particular view. So probably you have heard about certain word about vipallas. We can translate it as distortions. So it happens at the very cognition level, or we can say very much at the recognition level, at the sanya level, sanya vipallas. The distortion happens at the perceiving level. And there actually, when one is recognizing something, so typically he has a notion of the permanence, notion of satisfaction, notion of self. So that's in a way at the very early, very primitive stage, there's a recognition happens, and that recognition, one has certain a tendency to think that there is a person, there is a thing. So that very notion, thinking that there is something and there is someone, that is in a way we can say fairly a beginning of this very root of the sakkaya ditti. And then based upon that wrong perception, he is now thinking and generating various thoughts, and at that level we are saying that's a chitta vipallasa, or the distortion happen at the thinking level or at the contemplation level. So as a result of that, our thinking is very much centered upon a person, and as a result of that we are using various terms, we are using various languages, words, sentences, grammar, etc. So that a person is available, so that person is very much now confirmed as a way of our own thinking. Now we are thinking based upon a center view, that is center, at the center is I, center is a person, center is an individual. So based upon that now we are thinking, various thoughts are being generated. So now that level we call as the chitta vipallasa, or we can say it is the distortion happens at the thinking level, distortion happens at the contemplation level. Now after contemplation, after thinking a fair amount of time, now one comes to a conclusion. So that is where the ditti vipallasa happens, distortion at the view level. So it is a fairly a thorough stage, fairly a confirmed stage, where now it is quite difficult to come back. Now it is very difficult to change that wrong view. So that is how we can say the ditti vipallasa happens. So distortion at the ditti level, at the view level. So once such kind of a view is generated, slowly generated in one's mind, it is very, very difficult to remove that view or to abandon that view, to relinquish that view, unless one has a thorough understanding to reverse it. Now, so that is how the typically any kind of a wrong view can happen. So it seems like it is fairly applicable here as well. Now, Buddha mentioned how the, so this in this Chula Vedala Sutta, when Visakha is asking from Venerable Dhammadinna how the Sakkaya Ditti happens, so now Venerable Dhammadinna is answering to Visakha how the Sakkaya Ditti happens based upon the five clinging aggregates. Now we know now the five clinging aggregates are the Sakkaya, and the Sakkaya Ditti happens by looking at the five clinging aggregates in wrong way. Now there are 20 wrong ways. For each, we can say for each, how to say, aggregate, there is a wrong way of looking at it. Katampana iye sakkaya ditti hoti, idauso visaka asutava putujjano ariyanam adassavi ariya dhamma sakko vido. So let me take the English translation as well. The Chula Vedala, so she's, so let me see. So this is the translation. I didn't review. How does identity view comes to be? Dear friend Visakha, an untaught ordinary person who has no regard for noble ones and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, who has no regard for the men in and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, regards material form as self or self as possessed of material form, or material form as in self or self as in material form. So these are the four ways for each and every aggregate. Now, what it says, Ariyanam adassavi ariyadhammasa akovido. So basically, he is an untaught person. So he has no idea about what's going on. He basically has fairly established on the wrong view that there's a person, I am a person, I am an individual. So eye-centered thinking has thoroughly established. So he was thinking a lot, and now there's a person and he wants to confirm that availability of that person. He's an individual. So the whole language system, whole the society, everywhere, the whole political or social environment is very much generated or very much supporting this personality view. So everyone is giving a fair support to confirm that there is a person. So you may have a passport, you may have an identity card, you may have a driving license. So likewise, everywhere you are very much like make a kind of a person. So the society is confirming that. The language is confirming that. Whenever you are writing, your writing is confirming that. When you are talking, the eye-centered talking is confirming the availability of a person. Now, so for such person, he is constantly thinking that there's a person, I am a person, I am an individual, and that is how he is continuously thinking. And for him, so whenever we consider the form aggregate, so how he look at it, rupang attato samanupassati. So one way of doing it, one way of recognition, is that immediately the form aggregate he immediately recognize as myself. Now say for example, you are going in front of a mirror and you see the image, and there you recognize, oh, this is me. So I am beautiful, I am handsome, I am now old. So likewise, you immediately recognize what you can see in the mirror as yourself. Or else you are touching your body and you say, I am feeling good, I am feeling bad, no, I am not feeling well. So basically this body is recognized as I, myself. So that is an immediate, direct recognition, identification of the form aggregate as myself. And then rupa vantangva attanam. So I belong this body. So the body or the form is something belongs to me. So you are not immediately recognizing the form as yourself, but so you, yourself is possessed of material form. So material form belongs to you. So my hand, my leg, my head, my hair, my complexion. So likewise, so you are now having kind of a relationship, you are developing kind of a strong belongingness, possession. So that is how another way that you are talking. So basically you are telling, okay, my identity card, my passport, so my this, my that, my head, my hair. So likewise, again and again, so there's a position we are developing. So that way also one can say, so there's a personality view. That is how you are confirming the availability of yourself. Because if something belongs to you, is available, that means you are also available. So there are many possessions available, so that indicates you are also available. Without you, how can there be possessions? So in that way, one is very much like confirming the availability of a personality. So you are confirming your availability. And then, that is rupa vantangva attana. Then attaniva rupam. So attaniva rupam. That means material form as in self. So you are a big self, a large self. So you are enveloping a body, enveloping the form. So within you the form exists. So you are a big self, you belong many things, or you have many things, and form is one part of it. So basically another way of looking at it. So you can have different ways how you are relating to the self, actually here to the form aggregate as yourself. Either you directly connect, you directly identify this as myself, or either you can say this belongs to myself, or you can say within me the body exists. The other part is what we call as rupasming va attana. So that means within the body I exist. So body is a large thing. Inside there is an everlasting self. So that means self has immaterial form. There's a material form, there's a rupa, there's an aggregate, and within that, there's an everlasting kind of a soul exists, kind of a essence available, a core exists, so that is myself. So this is how typically, with respect to form, we get entangled or tangled with the identity view. So when we have any of these kind of relationship, then we are trying to confirm the availability of a self. Again and again we do this relationship, again and again we look at the mirror, for example, again and again we look at the photos, example, that confirms the personality view. Whenever you are, assume that you went to various places and you captured various photos, now you are reflecting them. Again and again when you look at the photo, you are there, I am there. So among a group photo you are recognized, okay, who, where am I? So as you see the image, so you recognize, oh, here I am. So the I comes out, the personality view comes out. So we are trying to confirm the availability of a personality view. We are trying hard to confirm that I am exist, I am important, I am an important person. So among others, so I am a kind of a significant character. So likewise, we are always trying to confirm ourselves, a person, an individual, an important individual. So with respect to the rupa, with respect to various forms, we can do that. Now say you have a car, and then you can even get conceited by telling, okay, my car is a new car, this car belongs to me, so I bought this car few years back, so now this is the best car, or this is an old car, I need to change it, I need to sell it out. So likewise, all available, whatever material form, it may be physical, various components, physical body or physical other belongings, every time when you are talking about it, if you are not familiar with the practice, then naturally the confirmation happens within you that you exist. Either directly you connect with it, either you think that belongs to you, either you think inside me the body exists, whatever the component exists, or you think within the component I exist. So likewise, a very subtle confirmation happens every time when we are relating with this physical entities. Now same kind of a fashion is available with the feelings. So this Venerable Dhammadinna is explaining Rupang attato samanupassati, so Vedanang attato samanupassati. So with respect to Vedana, Vedanang attato samanupassati. So that means he regards feeling as self. So various feelings are there, immediately direct recognition of feelings as self. So there are various feelings. So I am suffering, I am happy, I am bored. So with respect to various feelings, now I can immediately relate that these feelings are myself. So this is how our language is fairly prepared, very much like constructed, to confirm this personality view. The more we use that without much knowledge, without proper practice, so we are confirming that the feelings are myself. So if you want to confirm your availability, say you want to happy, you want to be happy. So then you strongly feel I am happy. On the other hand, if you feel sort of tortured, so I am being tortured, I am going through a lot of suffering, I have a lot of worries. So again and again you are worrying about something has happened. Suppose something, a kind of a traumatic experience has happened some years back. But even today you are thinking about it. How dare he did that, how dare he did that. So likewise again and again you are thinking about that past traumatic experience. More you think about it, more the confirmation of you, a person, an individual, went through suffering is coming out. So you are aware, you are very much like confirming a person. So directly connecting the suffering or the pain or that painful feelings as yourself, or directly relating to the happiness, pleasure as yourself. Or sometimes you simply say, I am bored, because the neutral experience is not much interesting. So even there you feel, okay, I am bored. Or else you say, so this belongs to me, suffering belongs to me. I am born with a lot of suffering, I am born with a lot of sins, I am born with this, I am born with that. So various feelings now I am possessing. I am relating to these feelings. Or else within the feelings, or rather say the third one, so within me the feeling is one component. I have several things, but feelings is one part of it. Or else within the feelings I exist. So feelings is a large one. So I, a soul, person, exists within that. So with respect to feelings also, likewise one can generate so this kind of a personality view. And then Venerable Dhammadinna explains about sanya. Sanya attato samanupassati. Various perceptions, various kinds of recognition. So I am the one recognize this. So my name is this. So you are given a name. So that name is nothing but a kind of a label, nothing but a sign, a mark, just to recognize you from the others. But as you are given the name, more and more you are very much like using it. When others are calling you that with that name, so slowly, so you start identifying with that name. So it is happening in a way, very, very subtle cognitive level it happens, how the name, the given name becomes you. Suppose now you are at the college and the teacher is now taking the attendance and she or he is talking your name, telling your name, calling your name, and you immediately raise your hand, yeah, I am here, I am present. Again and again she is telling that every day, so your presence, I exist, my name is this, so I am that. So basically this is how the existence of a name becomes you. So you directly confirm that name is you. I am so and so. I am Chandaratana. I am Suranga. I am that. I am this. So names are there. And then your degree is there. I am a bachelor. I am a master's. So likewise, so different ways that we identify with our names. And the different names are given to our country, to our society, our culture, to our race, our religion. So all these different names, all these different words, the terminologies, signs, conventions, all are sometimes we are relating with them, and we are bound to them, we recognize with them, and either directly we confirm that I am that, or we say I belong that, or we say within me that name exists, with that within me that perception exists. Or within the perception, I exist. Now these things actually we need to look at within our mind. Now we are simply covering the theoretical part. We'll see how we need to practice. Particularly when we are, developing Kaya Anupassana. So we are trying to recognize how this identification happens in the form aggregate. So we'll go to that part later. Now that is related to the perceptions aggregate, and now we can go to the formations aggregate, Sankhara Khanda. Sankharam Atato Samanupassati. So that means various formations, say your thoughts, your imaginations, your creations, your work, your words, your speech, your talk, your writings, your poem, your song. So everything is there, where you are telling, okay, this is, I am the one talking this, I am the one preaching now. Say for example, you are a singer, and now your song is being broadcast in the radio or in the TV. If you are looking at it, oh, this I am singing. You can see how beautiful I am singing. So likewise, so whenever you are doing such kind of an action, so slowly, so that confirmation happens. So various your skills being recognized as you, all your action being recognized as you, say all your speech recognized as you, and all your past activities, past good deeds or past bad deeds, everything recognized as you. I am the one who did this. I am the one going to do this. So this is my responsibility. I should do this. You can't interfere with me. This is my job. So I should do this. So this is my responsibility. So likewise, we are taking all the intentional work as myself. So it belongs to me. So assume that you did something good. Later time, the memories come to your mind. How you did that. So more and more you think about it. Okay, you are confirming. Though I am the one doing it. I am the one who have done that properly. So I am the one done that properly. So you all failed, but I succeeded. I did that. So you have to applaud me. So I am the one done that properly. So likewise, all actions, either bodily actions, either verbal actions, speech, or either mental actions, whatever you thought, this is my good idea. So I got a good idea. So even assume that you are participating in a meeting. So various people have their own different opinions. Now, how are you presenting your opinion? So at that time, maybe someone else might have a bright opinion. But our personality view may prevent us to even accept that. But we want to confirm our opinion. So this is my opinion. You all have to accept that. So I am the boss. So this is how we operate. So typically, we have our own ideas. So my idea is the brilliant idea. So you all have to accept that. Either you... Even though you have a brilliant idea, I am not ready to accept that, but you need to accept my brilliant idea. So this is how the idea, the thoughts we have, the views we have, that we are using to recognize as a person. So with those ideas, now you can say, so this is my idea. So I am the one who proposed this proposal. So this proposal is the best proposal. So you all have implemented that. Now, so you see how we are successful. Suppose that you have given a good proposal to your company and so the company has implemented that. Suppose you all succeeded. Now you can be happy, you can be proud telling that, so you see, so this is my proposal, you implemented that, now we all are successful. So this is my proposal. So whatever the action, whatever your creation, you can relate it with yourself. So the self exists. So you are confirming the availability of a self. So likewise, either to the thoughts, either to the speech, either to the bodily actions, so you can have a personality view. And on the other hand, say you are a kind of a lustful character, for example. You have a lust. Time to time, lust arises in you. So it might even bother you. So you may even regret about it. So I have a lot of lust. So lust is now belonging to you. So you have such kind of a bondage with lust, and you think it belongs to you, and I am a lustful character. So I is now coming as an individual. So I am a lustful character. I am an angry character. I am an anger character. I am a vitakka character. I am a I am too much with speculation. So likewise, so whatever our character trait, using that character trait, we can even identify ourselves. Or if you have a kind of a skill, so that you can use to recognize as a self. Say you are good in preaching. So you can appreciate that skill, and even doing that, probably you are generating a self-view. Say you are skilled in sports. And when you are thinking about it, probably you are generating a personality. You are showing off yourself. You are sort of among a crowd. You are sort of gifted, or you are being recognized. So all that boost a person. Now thing is, I mean, we can't avoid all these things. So I am giving some practical examples. Actually, we can't avoid all these things when we are living in a society. But here we are talking a person who is not knowing the Dhamma, who has no way of another alternative way how to penetrate this kind of a personality view. He doesn't know anything, any other alternative, so he is very much like programmed or conditioned with this kind of thinking, and now he is confirming the availability of a person. So if someone is telling, so this is a wrong view, this is something that you have generated, is how the clinging happens. So that person immediately can't understand it. So that's why the practice is required. Now, with respect to vijnana, the consciousness aggregate, again the same thing is there. So whenever you are looking at something, so I am the one seeing it, I am the one hearing it, I am the one talking, I am the one smelling it, I am the one tasting it, I am the one going through some sensation, tactile sensation, I am the one thinking. So all the actions with respect to the faculties, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, now with respect to those faculties, now you can generate a person. I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I touch, and I cognize, I think. So every time, our whole language system is very much this eye-centered grammar is there. So this is how everything is generated. So I-centered. So I am the first, what's that, in the grammar, as well, what's that, I comes as the first order, right? What's that?
I, me, mine.
No. I, you, he.
I, you, he.
I is the first person. First person.
Oh, okay.
I
yes,
is the first
yes.
person. You are the second person.
Yes.
He is the third person.
I believe so. That sounds right.
So this is how typically we recognize. So very much like, so we are confirming the availability of I. So I is the most important one, not you, not he. I am the most important one. So this is how the language is very much like promoting the availability of a self. Now, so Venerable Dhammadinaya is explaining this. Now, just to connect this with little about the practice, Now, if we are practicing Kayanupassana, so that is where we are trying to, at a later stage, this is how we are trying to recognize how this I-making happens, how this self-making happens, how the personality view being generated through the body. So in the Kayanupassana, you are looking at the body in many different ways. Either you dissect it into various pieces, various components, and now you don't have a big unit as a person, but you have various components, various body parts. So within a body part, how can you say that I exist? So there's a huge blow happens to the personality view when you dissect the body. So various many little components are there. Now which part are you calling as I? So that's one way of looking at it. And if you have a lot of personality view with respect to the body, since you are beautiful, smart, young, so probably you can look at it in a different angle. So this body is loathsome. Different body parts are there. They are not attractive. So as a result of that, in one way, the lust is removed. On the other hand, the view of the compactness view being somewhat reduced. And on the other hand, when various element characteristics are able to recognize, so it's a flow of element characteristics. It's a kind of an activity of elements happens within the body. So how can we say that a person exists? So all these element characteristics are very vulnerable, very transient. So within a transient process, how can you say that there is an everlasting person exists? So likewise, when we are practicing Kayanupassana, that is where you are slowly reducing or slowly diluting the personality view with respect to the body, with respect to the form aggregate. And when you are practicing Vedanupassana, the feelings aggregate, so that is where you are getting an opportunity to looking at various feelings at their proper way, in the right way, so that the personality view with respect to the feelings are now slowly abandoned. Now, when you are looking at the in the feelings aggregate, sometimes you are able to even recognize the perceptions. So, because when feelings are somewhat subsided, the perceptions can arise. Various signs, marks can arise in the mind. There's a possibility that you identify with them. And if you are properly practicing Vedanupassana, there is an opportunity for you to penetrate these perceptions as well. And that is fairly available in the Chittanupassana, where you are trying to recognize consciousness aggregate, formations aggregate, perceptions aggregate, so that you are very much like trying to avoid, minimize the personality view. You are penetrating the personality view. And once you go to the Dhammanupassana, all the five aggregates are revisited again and again, so that you get the proper understanding about each aggregate, and personality view is slowly abandoned. So likewise, Satipatthana practice is one approach available to penetrate this personality view. But in the Malunkiputta Sutta, actually a different approach is given, what we call as the Samatha Pubbanga Vipassana, where you first develop certain amount of samadhi and then you do the practice of Vipassana. So that is the approach taken in the Malunkiputta Sutta. Different approaches are available, what Buddha has taught. So many approaches are available. And so today I want to highlight this part. And what is Sakkaya? What is Sakkaya Samudaya? What is Sakkaya Nirodha? What is Sakkaya Nirodha Gamini Patipada? And what is Sakkaya Ditti? So this is how it is explained in various suttas, particularly in the Mahamalunkiputta Sutta and in the in the Chula Vedala Sutta. And here particularly Buddha mentioned with respect to Sakkaya Ditti. So Buddha mentioned here, Ananda, untaught ordinary person who has no regard for noble ones and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, who has no regard for true men and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, abides with the mind obsessed and enslaved by identity view. So you can see that what Venerable Dhammadinna has mentioned here, Buddha also is confirming. So if one is unskilled, he has no regard for true men, who has no regard for nobles, who has no idea about what's going on, he has never come across the Dhamma, so he typically abides with the mind obsessed and enslaved by identity view. So he's already a person, he's already an individual, he wants to confirm the availability, the validity of that person. And he does not understand as it actually is, the escape from the arisen identity view. And he don't have any other alternative. He constantly trying to confirm his personality, a personal view, identity, and he don't know escape from it. And when that identity view has become habitual and is uneradicated in him, it is a lower fetter. Now again and again he is thinking, now it has become a kind of a habit, and ultimately it confirms as a trait, kind of a personality trait, or kind of a trait, a character within the person. Now it's very difficult to remove it. So this is how the personality view being generated and ultimately we being tangled with it. So we'll see later about the other lower fetters as well. There are four more to talk. So with that, I like to conclude today's Sutta teaching session. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Bhante. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So if there are any questions, feel free to raise your hand or you can send them via chat.
Okay, we have a question from our side.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Bhante. Yeah. Yes, I was wondering, it seems as though that if I were to eradicate identity view, that all the other five fetters would also be eradicated as well. If I just focused on identity view?
Actually, we can't say that we only need to focus on identity view, but it is fairly the predominant one. And other fetters are fairly connected with that. So when I am confirming personality view, so then the other fetters are also very much like I am confirming. Other fetters are also slowly developing because the personality view is very much a stronger one. And so as I am confirming that, as I am again and again tangled with it, so other fetters are also fairly confirmed. So, but when you are trying to eradicate personality view, other fetters are also somewhat attacked or somewhat has a great influence. But they have their own characteristics.
Okay.
Say, for example, doubt.
Yes.
So, doubt has certain characteristics with personality view as well as its own other characteristics. Say, if you can, now we can actually discuss about doubt next week. So, say, I have doubt about the Buddha, I have doubt about the Dhamma, I have doubt about the Sangha, I have doubt about the, say, the practice. So, I mean, you can't immediately find out the I involvement, the self involvement there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start recognizing various teachings available, so there you can have various doubts. What you have learned, what you have taught. So with that, then you probably have certain doubts. And again, about your own practice, there could be a doubt. So likewise, doubt has another routine, another way of development. So it can become a fetter. So that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, certain rules and regulations, observances, that also is another fetter. So you can't recognize immediately a kind of a relationship between the identity view and the rules and observances, but there can be subtle relationship.
Yeah.
But you need to proper. I mean, as we are practicing, it is very much like all these fetters are significantly influenced, significantly penetrated. It is. I mean, there is no a separate path to overcome doubt or separate path to overcome rules and regulations. Observances. But as you practice, say for example, Satipatthana, all the fetters are slowly abandoned. All the setters are slowly, slowly influenced, diluted as a result of the practice. So yeah. That is the beauty of the practice in a way. That is the strength of the practice.
Yeah.
Even if you practice samatha pubbanga vipassana, say you practice a certain amount of samatha and then you practice vipassana, the same thing is there. But knowing their little differences would be very useful,
yes,
for us to understand whether I am being captured,
okay,
where I am being bonded still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so all of them together are more of a complete practice that we can understand.
Mm. Now, say for example,
ways that we're clinging, I guess.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, the various practices are also not a single type of practice. So that's why, say for example, when we consider Kaya Anupassana, in the Kaya Anupassana itself, there are many approaches available, many ways of looking at the body available. Say for example, when you are looking at the body as rather than a compact unit, so this is my body. Now if you dissect it into various pieces, body parts, so immediately one sense you can say you are attacking the personality view to fair extent, because you can't recognize, so which component as myself?
Mm-hmm.
Is the teeth myself? Is the nail myself?
Yeah.
Oh, so likewise, I mean, you can argue, I mean, within yourself, so which part is myself? So you are,
yeah,
so the personality view is somewhat challenged in that way.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, in a more subtle way, when you are practicing elements meditation, it has becoming very much like a very subtle processes. Various processes are available, operating continuously within the body.
Yeah.
So how can I say a particular process is myself? Because it is constantly arising and passing away.
Yeah.
So how can we argue, okay, that person exists in this very transient process?
Mm-hmm.
So likewise, the personality view being fairly diluted, fairly challenged,
yes,
in this the practice. And on the other hand, as we are continuing the practice, though, we get fair amount of confidence about the practice. Rather than we have doubt about the practice, now we get fair confidence about the practice. Okay, this practice is a good practice. I mean, it's having these strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have much about the personality view, or I don't have much about the defilements. So that indicates that the practice is proving itself.
Yeah, and so we feel good. We
feel good.
Good, better.
Better.
Than if we're identifying with the self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as we abandon, dilute the self personality view, so we feel happy.
Yeah, yeah.
We feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no much friction.
Yeah.
So that indicates, okay, now I have some thorough understanding about the practice. Now it is not mere superficial understanding. I
yeah.
have practically implemented that.
Yeah.
So that you become more confirmed, more you become more satisfied, you become more confident about your own practice.
Verified faith.
Verified faith.
Yeah.
So when you experience that,
yeah,
so then you feel more confident about the Buddha, his teaching, and the followers of the teachings, and likewise. So you feel, so all that is now slowly, fairly, the whole system become proven. Like,
yeah.
So you can say it's not that Buddha as a historical person that now I go for refuge. Now he's a person, we'll just use the name person, say he's a person who understood the path, and by implementing that he has removed the personality view. He's no more a person, he's a Tathagata. So it is not that I am going for refuge Buddha as a person now.
Yes.
So he's a person who removed the person.
Yes.
He's no more a person.
Yeah.
So the practice has helped him to overcome that wrong personality view. So after doing that, now he is preaching the Dhamma. So that Dhamma I am following. So it may take me also to the same level, same kind of an understanding. So you get a thorough kind of a confidence about the Buddha Dhamma Sangha also as you continue the practice. So that is why typically it say it is not the mere blind faith, rather it now become a fairly an experiential practice-based, confirmed, thorough understanding that you now have with respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha.
Yes.
Yeah.
And each of us may have a stronger, like I may have more doubt than some people, so
definitely.
Maybe doubt would be more my, something I may have to spend a lot of time observe.
So, yeah, I mean, we can't say that the same amount all of us have, say, personality view 30%, doubt 30%. We can't say that all of us have that same amount.
Yes.
So different, I mean, we may have different amounts.
Yes. So we have to listen to ourselves and see if it's being, if we're viewing it correctly, then maybe we move on to the other, another one.
Yeah, like maybe something. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because we have to be on guard on the mind.
Yeah.
So what is the kind of trait, what is the kind of defilement, or what is the kind of wrong view arising in us?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have to be on guard.
Yes.
Always vigilant about what is the mind is now attached to, how it is recognizing it. Say, for example, say you are talking to someone and you are now trying to confirm your opinion.
Yeah.
So how you are trying to recognize with your opinion? So now you are trying to safeguard the opinion. You want to highlight your opinion more than his opinion.
Yeah.
So now probably slowly, a personality view is coming out. You are now trying to confirm you.
Yeah.
Then the view even, then the opinion.
Yeah.
You don't want to, I mean, you feel that his opinion is much better. But now you want to safeguard you as a person. I am more important. I am the boss.
Yeah.
So likewise, so depending on the situation, depending on the activity that we are involved with, we need to see the possibility of arising the personality view.
Yeah.
So that thing, I think, I mean, we can't immediately say that I am every day, every time bound to this particular trait or this particular fetter, but within the day, many different fetters are operating within me, so I need to be fully vigilant to check which fetter is now operating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So then only I can recognize, okay, what's going on right now.
Yeah, at lunchtime it's desire, sensual desire. Possibly.
Exactly. Yeah. So likewise, so we have to be. We can get a little guess. Okay, at this time maybe this part of fetter may be more prominent, going to be prominent, so I have to be guard on that fellow.
Yeah.
But on another occasion, this particular fetter could be more prominent, so I can be careful about that particular fetter.
Yes.
So if we have that kind of a precaution in the mind, that's also good.
Thank you.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything that you want to add? Oh, there's a raised hand. Yeah.
All right. I'd like to invite Priya for the next question.
Good one, Sarnai Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Bhante, I just want to confirm whether I'm doing this right. For me, most of the defilement or these fetters are arising not during meditation, but throughout the day.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, even I think when I do walking meditation or sitting meditation, most of the time I pay attention to changing how things change, and they are not under my control. Thoughts comes and goes, but I can't recognize or untangle most of them. But during the day, I get tangled with various thoughts and everything. So then I recognize what's going on, and they are coming and going, rising and passing away, all of them, not only feelings. And moment to moment, when I am mindful, I just see that they are not under my control.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing anything, but they are coming and going. So I even when I go to sleep, I feel body sensations. And at any particular time, I don't think that I have a lot of concentration. It is just a recognition and mindfulness. That's all. So
yeah. Actually,
I don't know whether I'm doing vipassana there.
No,
or
nothing is.
Am I doing the correct thing? Or
yeah.
Because I have heard some monks particularly say that you have to have a certain amount of concentration to do vipassana and don't go to do vipassana without that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not doing that during the day, so that's why I have a little bit of doubt there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So basically we already discussed about the jhana and their influence on vipassana, are they essential, and that discussion we already completed few weeks back. So there we need to understand what we need is a fair amount of concentration which is capable of recognizing these different phenomena in a more clear manner, more precisely. Say for example, when there is a bodily sensation, so our concentration should be enough to recognize that sensation. If there is a feeling, then our concentration should be enough to recognize that feeling. If there is a thought in the mind, so our concentration available should be able to recognize that thought. So likewise, the concentration is enough to recognize that whatever the phenomena arising. So that is the concentration which is more important rather than you being absorbed to something. So the other possibility available is that you are getting absorbed to something and then you develop a very deep concentration. But that is not the approach that we are talking here. What is the most important is that you are able to recognize whatever the phenomena objectively, without identifying with it, without making a relationship with it. So you maintain a little distance with that phenomena and you are able to precisely look at it objectively. So that is the skill what we need. So if you have that skill, that is more than enough to continue your vipassana. It is not a deeper concentration where you get locked in a particular object. So that is not the appropriate kind of concentration we are talking here. So the kind of balancing of all these faculties so that you have a proper perspective, about you have a proper understanding about these different phenomena. So that is what the concentration is doing, and that is more than enough.
So, do you mean like when something arises, I should sit back and watch without get entangled with it?
Yeah.
Is that what you are?
Yes, yes.
Referring to.
That is enough.
Yeah.
There? Yes, yes. Because you can see it clearly. I mean, what Buddha meant by samadhi?
Yeah.
Samahito yathabhutam pajanati pasati.
Yeah. So sometimes Bante.
So the person with the concentration is capable of looking at things as they truly are.
Yeah. Why I'm asking that, Bhante, sometimes right away I cannot detach myself from the event.
Uh-huh.
And it takes me for a few minutes. So, I mean, right away, suppose lustful thought arise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's not very quick, it's not sudden. It's,
correct.
But the important thing is I can recognize you even after few minutes, sometimes
mm-hmm.
right away, sometimes
correct.
It takes time.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot say that sometimes I it is successful, sometimes I'm not.
Correct. So that is
sometimes
that is how
it comes and goes several times, like especially if something related to my children or something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a struggle,
mm-hmm.
but with the practice, when it happens again and again and again,
mm-hmm.
I can dilute it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So basically, this is how we are growing. So the success rate slowly have to improve. So then only we can say we are successful in the practice. I mean, we can't immediately be 100% successful. So basically, at the beginning, we don't have enough sharp mindfulness or proper recognition, objectively looking at these things properly. But sometimes we can get tangled. And sometimes we are kind of failed. But later, as we continue the practice, so the success rate becomes higher and higher. So then the thoughts slowly start fading away, getting diluted, getting blurred easily. So that now we are getting more confirmation or more confidence about our practice. So till we come to that range, we may sometimes fail, sometimes be successful. So that is unavoidable. I mean, it's a matter of probably if you feel that you are not yet capable of immediately attacking or confronting these different thoughts, defilements, probably you can stay a little bit more with the Kaya Anupassana or Vedana Anupassana so that our faculties are further sharpened. But within the Chitta Anupassana itself, there's a fair possibility that you are sharpening your faculties.
The reason why I am doing that, Bhante, because I get anxious about things pretty
mm-hmm.
easily.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wait until I do a Kaya Anupassana, sitting meditation or walking, I cannot tackle it because
mm-hmm.
When it arrives, I have to tackle it.
Correct, definitely.
And I can't wait until a sitting meditation or walking meditation. That is not practical.
No. Thing is,
for me.
No. Thing is, during daily activities, you have to be on guard. So you have to always check the mind.
Yeah.
That is true. But when you have time, you continue Kaya Anupassana. If that is your main meditation category that you are currently involved with, you can further enhance that also so that you can have a little bit more developed mindfulness, developed concentration, developed wisdom available for your daily practice as well. So they are fairly interdependent. They are actually relating each other, supporting each other.
Yeah. I am doing that, Bhante.
So I
recognize now the wisdom is developing slowly.
Right.
And I had mindfulness, but the wisdom was not developing
mm-hmm.
as I thought. Now I recognize that it is developing, not that as fast as I
yeah.
wanted, but
yes.
But it's developing slowly.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, sometimes... you know, when I hear from other people and other monks,
mm-hmm.
and that's
mm-hmm.
why I get some doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I ask this question.
Yeah, no problem.
Whether I'm doing it correctly. And then I cannot, so I don't do the disintegration of body or those things.
Uh-huh.
The one that work for me is the one that I watch, and then I realize that this none of these phenomena are not under my control.
Mm-hmm.
It means
anatta,
right?
Yeah. No problem.
So that is the one that worked for me.
That's right. So different people have their approaches. So whatever good for you, whatever is more working for you, is. You can continue, no problem in that. So either sometimes people recognize, okay, things are impermanent, so that becomes their most prominent insight. For some others, they consider everything is suffering, unsatisfactory, so that becomes their most important insight. And for some others, as you said, so they understand the coreless or essenceless hollow kind of a thing, and then that becomes their non-self related insight. So that's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Yeah, okay.
Much, Navi.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Radhika for the next question.
Bhante?
Yeah, can, but you can talk louder a little.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. I have two questions, Bhante.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is about my meditation, and the other one is about something a friend sent that Manupa Dhammajiva had sent her.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what it applies to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take that one first. There was some talk or something that Bhante Dhammajiva had given about what should I do if when there are sensations in my body. And he had written a very nice article, or this girl had written, or some, no, anyway, it came to me
mm-hmm.
in Sinhalese.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a person who was doing breathing awareness, anapanasati, and I get a similar one when I'm doing my walking meditation, Iriyapata,
mm-hmm.
right?
Uh-huh.
And what I want to ask you is whether that would apply to me also, what he gave the answer, whether it would apply to me too. The same, the only difference is that in that one, the thing was in Sinhalese, right? So I had to get someone help to make sure I understood. It said, what in English, I'm translating, what should I do if I get sanvedana, which I put as sensations in my body, and then the sensations very strong, they have used a Sinhalese word, around the nostrils, and then on the whole body, and for me, it's on the foot and up to the ankles, and then the body, right? It's subtle, I don't know what the word they use, but some of the thing applied to me, but it was because I did it on walking meditation and Iriyapata Papa. So in that, he says to make it your friend and or to keep on getting, do whatever you do to get more of it, that you're doing okay, and that strengthen the Noble Eightfold Path, like Samma Vacha, Samma Kammanta, Samma Ajiva, make sure that is all there, and to continue the same way and make this thing not your home, but to make it happen more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now I'm asking, he was not talking about a person getting walking meditation, because he was telling the continuous sensations on the area around the nostril, while I'm saying it's on the sole of the foot and the ankles area. But even now, when I'm listening to Dhamma with you, can I tell the same thing is right for me, or it's not?
Yeah, it's a fairly a common instruction. I mean, the place the sensation happens may change. I mean, it's
yes.
So you can apply the same approach, no harm.
Okay, so then my second question, now you had asked me, now the walking meditation and the Iriyapata thing is going, I would say, fairly stable way. In the sense that it's not as pronounced as it was before, but it's more continuous, especially on the area of the foot and the ankles, and it's more subtle, but it's there very clearly that there is something arising and passing away continuously, even if I'm doing many other things, more than before. You asked me to do include breathing awareness also in addition to the walking. So I had got a very good opportunity because a new nunnery opened very close to my house. So and it's the environment is very good. So I started going there as frequently as I could. So I started doing that. It's the same way in the sense the Theravada the nunneries letting me do it the same whatever I want in the meditation hall. So I did the Anapanasati, but I'm still falling asleep sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing 1 hour because that's the time frame that they give for all the people, and I go in silently and I sit silently, and they don't give any instructions or anything. Every day from 8 to 9, the meditation is there early morning. So Sundays it's okay, but I'm still falling asleep, and I'm not saying I'm getting drowsy. I know that I'm falling asleep for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
So am I supposed to do that much of the sitting meditation? Because now when I go there, I don't get to do the walking before the sitting. As I go, we start with the sitting.
That's why you need to first practice some walking before you go there, and while going there also you can practice walking, because if you are not yet prepared for sitting, then there's a higher possibility you can get into a sleepy mode, and walking will give you a very good answer to further sharpen your mindfulness, because the more you have sharp mindfulness, that means you are fairly awakened, so your wakefulness is there. So when wakefulness is there, it's very rarely, very hardly that you go to sleep. So
okay.
There's a significant answer available, a very, very valuable answer available in the walking practice. So you can sharpen
right.
further about wakefulness through walking, and with that developed,
right.
sharped mindfulness, you can go for the sitting.
Right. Thank you so much, Pante. The little problem is that I have to drive there.
Uh-uh.
There will be a little bit of a gap, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, even if I don't drive, my Sarat can take me, but that doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
But I should do 1 hour before I go, right?
So
what is happening is I'm not having time to do the 1 hour before I go.
Normally.
I do early morning the walking meditation, but because I have to get ready and have breakfast and everything and be there on time, I do it after.
Ah.
So I'm sitting and then doing the walking after. But I should be doing it the other way somehow, right?
Yeah. You can try to go a little early.
Okay. Go a little early to the nunnery and do it there.
Yeah.
Walking there.
Yes,
is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, that is maybe a possibility. They may not open the gates, but I will try that. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
You can.
Alright, thank you. I'd like to invite Mahisha for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is kind of not a question, but I thought I will share my meditation experience right now. So I actually had a kind of a long break because I had to go on a holiday with my family, and I tried to keep up my at least 1 hour meditation, sitting meditation practice in the same way that I used to do every day, but I couldn't manage that. So then I thought, no, I'm not going to press myself so much. So, and then I thought I will, whenever I get a time sitting in a car or walking somewhere, I will keep on doing mindfulness even for a short while. So I kept doing that. It was a bit hard, but on and off on a day, like 5-6 times, like 5 minutes or like 2-3 minutes sometimes, I try to keep up with it. And then once I return home and then settle down, with the usual routine, I try the first day. I wake up to do the meditation, but I couldn't get up because my mind didn't let me do it. So I was so lazy. So I thought, okay, stay, whatever way you like. So it took like 2-3 days for me to get back to my routine and then start meditation. So I was a bit kind of like frustrated, thinking, okay, this is how, you so got lazy, even though you try to keep up with everything. And then anyway, I motivated myself, and then I thought, okay, this is what we call the virya is needed. So the effort, and then, so I started the first day, I felt like the mind was going all around, about the holiday or about the work I had to do in the future, things like that. But I let the mind to, you know, hang around in the way that it likes and come back to me. So it keeps going, coming back, you know, going on stories, running around, coming back. Again going like that, 1 hour went, and then 2-3 days after, actually it settled. And then I could concentrate properly. And so a couple of times actually I went to sleep as well, so I knew the problem. So because I had instructions got from you and Bhante Jambaji about how to manage that, so I managed to manage it. And now I'm back on track, I think, after like 2 weeks. So the current situation is that when I message, I don't take much effort to do the breathing exercise. I just stay and watch the breath, and then straight away go to the sensations. So I go with the sensations and then quickly get on to nothingness, and then I can stay, and then the mind stays, and then sometimes it's hovering around with something that happened yesterday, or come up with some thoughts. Okay, you had to do after this, right, after this, this one, so like future planning. So I let the mind to do it. It come back, and then going around again, coming back. So it's the whole hour goes on like that. Quite watching what's this mind doing to me. And then once I finish, also I get out of my routine work. I'm not having much responsibilities now. I enjoy that. So I'm looking at the mind. So it's a kind of a, like the whole day I'm looking, okay, what is this guy doing? Going here, going there, and you know, picking on things and coming back and reporting me, or you know, you're bad or you're good. So like that, that's the thing. Even my mind is now assessing my mind like that. I feel like it's saying, oh, you went around a trip and you're coming back. You look at other people's gossip. You know, you pick other people's things and then coming back to me. So like that, mind itself blaming mind, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch that as well, and it keeps like that. So I just want to tell you, I wouldn't say that it's kind of a, like, I don't feel like it's like any improvement, but I'm back to like my previous situation where before I went on the holiday, that was how I was like maintaining myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I get back to that, and I just want to report you and get some further guidance if there's any. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, so I think this is quite normal since after some time of little distraction, now we are back to normal or back to the typical practice. So there it may take some time to settle. And as you said, the most important thing is that we are having certain urgency within us that I need to get back to my normal routine. And at the same time, more we practice, so then it becomes easier for us to adjust ourselves even to a different situation. And even at that difficult or different situation, we still can maintain to some extent the mindfulness, the awareness, or we can at least watch the mind, what's really going on. We can minimize the driving of the defilements, or we being caught up into defilements, so that defilements may arise definitely at those occasions, but we have to be on guard. What are the defilements arising, and am I following the defilements, or am I able to check them and let them go without being enslaved to them? So likewise, slowly, it is not only within the scheduled practice that we have to be vigilant, but even at that other occasions, daily activities and all these different occasions, we also have to maintain to some extent the guarding of the mind. Because the defilements are most prominent or most probable during those times, not during the meditation periods. Because during the meditation periods, we are fairly ready. We are more vigilant. At that time, less defilements. But on other occasions, there is a higher possibility for the defilements to arise. So we have to be on guard. So what's really going on within the mind? And at least we can avoid getting caught up to defilements. Defilements may arise, but I check it, let it go without being caught by them.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah.
So feel like I'm on the kind of...
Correct, yes. Yes.
Back to right track now?
Yeah.
Is that so?
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And one another silly thing that got into my mind just now. I watch, when I'm watching my mind, especially when I go to the shops, I used to have this sometimes back, but it was, you know, I would say like it was faded away for some time. But then again, recently I feel like when I go to shops, when there are like things discounted or, you know, half price or sale, I don't know why I feel like, okay, I must buy, and I just buy them. I can give to this one, I can give to this one, or when I go to Sri Lanka, I can share with, you know, my friends. Or whatever, you know, I just collect things, I mean, just buy things. Not when it's full price, but when it's discounted. I watch my mind like crazy, and it's just grabbing, you know. I'm not thinking that, okay, other people also can have it, so let me keep some for other people. So I just buy everything what is there. You know, I'm buying this because I want other people to give. It's not for me, I know, but I just buy. I don't know how. I mean, and again, I think, oh, am I doing the right thing? I'm so crazy suddenly. I can't control myself at that minute, but I'm coming home, then I think, oh my goodness. What you were doing, you know, what you practice, and
so
what
that is a, in a way, it's a sales trick. So we are being caught to, so it's a kind of a marketing tactic, a kind of a sales trick that they are playing, and they show it's a half price, and somehow people get attracted and they want to quickly get the advantage of the half price or that sales discount, and that's how they promote somehow. Or sometimes whatever the obsolete goods that they quickly want to get out of it, get rid of it, so they are make it for discounted price. So likewise, these are sales tricks, and we unknowingly or knowingly we get caught up with it. So the different tricks are available in the marketing world. So we somehow get caught to them.
Yes. So how can I
manage myself? Interesting thing is that you recognize it. So without, you get a kind of a greedy approach when you see that. At that moment, you couldn't stop yourself. But later you understood, okay, it's too much I have bought, or it's not necessary or something like that. During the next time, you need to warn yourself, okay, now things are there, they show it's discounted. Is it really necessary? So is it I am following this greediness, kind of opportunist approach, that am I following that? Are they really need? Are they really required? So is it a kind of a greedy mind that I am following? So since I see this discounted, so immediately there is a need arise. Even though there is no need, kind of a need is arisen because there's an influence or conditioning happens because of this outside event. So someone has made it lower price, so that initiates kind of a thinking process within me. Now I get immediately caught up with it. So likewise, if we can look at how this thought generation happened and how the conditioning of the mind happens, how I get caught up with it, then how I do various reasoning that I need it, I want it, I better give it to another person, I can give it to someone. So various reasons now I am, you know, compiling into the picture, so that I want to, I am very much reasonifying or rationalizing, okay, I want to buy it. So this is how we confirm ourselves, and ultimately we go and buy. But ultimately what happens is that I get caught to someone else's marketing trick, maybe a kind of an advertisement.
Yeah, true, Grante. Actually, it can relate to today's talk as well, because when I look at my mind, even in the shop, while deciding whether to buy or not, then my mind actually fights with me. Yes, I want, and again, I say, no, you don't want. And then reasoning out saying, oh, can you remember last time when you go to Sri Lanka? your that friend, this friend said they like this, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one that they were talking about. So
mm-hmm.
if you take this and give them, they will be happy, they will be smiling, and then, you know, they will think I'm a good person. So then I try to make myself.
Exactly.
You know, making me, and then, you know,
yeah.
be, you know, like, oh, I'm a good person.
I'm a good
like
person.
A label.
Exactly.
So
that's why, I mean,
that's exactly happening, but I think about it at that minute,
mm.
but still I buy.
Mm-hmm.
The mindset, okay, that's what happens. You buy it.
Mm.
You can give it.
Mm.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you don't buy now, you will not have it because next time when you come, it's all gone.
Mm. Yeah, that's
so
the thing.
I feel like kind of bit of gain frustrating about my inner mind.
No, again, you can see how these different defilements are interrelated and helping each other. In one sense, it is promoting the self view, the personality view. In another sense, it is promoting kind of the greediness or the kind of that attachment. And on other sense, say kind of competitiveness that someone else may buy it. I want to quickly get it, acquire it. So such kind of way. So different defilements are supporting each other, and I ultimately we get caught. So I mean, if we can recognize all these sort of internal conflict going on, such a way, I mean, it's a, looking at it, step back and looking at it is a fairly good opportunity for us to see how mind is playing kind of a trick. So slowly, the advantage is immediately we may not be able to overcome that. But later, slowly, we are maturing ourselves.
Mm.
So then these thoughts are not that influential. So they may come, but we can keep them aside. We don't need to really follow them.
Yeah, I'll try to do that. I'll try to keep watching.
Yeah.
Every day.
So you can buy something for me when I'm coming.
I'm going to come to Sri Lanka very soon. I'll see you every day.
Okay.
Thank you, Bante.
Yeah, welcome.
Alright, thank you. I'd like to invite Darshika for the next question.
Bante, can you hear me?
Yes.
I want to ask a small question. My question is, Bhante, can you please explain the relationship between Anidarsana consciousness as Vinyane and the subconscious mind?
Uh-huh. No, typically there is no, I mean, in the Buddhist terminology, there is nothing called subconscious mind. It is coming from the Western psychology. But in the Buddhist point of view, what we are talking is the typical, say, defiled mind and, say, undefiled mind, we can say, and then a consciousness, kind of an entangled or tangled, established consciousness, conditioned consciousness. And another level is where the mind is completely free and the consciousness is not established. So it doesn't represent anything. It's very much like transparent. So that is where the Anidarsana Vijnana and the unestablished consciousness, the Appatitthita Vijnana, are fairly explained. So the subconsciousness is something coming from the Western psychology, where very deeper ego and all that, id and all that, according to that Western psychology they are talking, and then there's a subconscious level and then the conscious level. And that different kind of categorizations are there, different terminologies are there. So we can't immediately relate that with the Buddhist terminology.
My question is, my problem is, Bhante, now when you're in the empty stage, sometimes the mind keeps telling, oh, you're right,
mm-hmm.
or like giving me advice.
Mm-hmm.
I just ignore that as a normal routine, like I'm watching for other things. I don't take it, but sometimes it's a nuisance. So I was wondering if I could get some advice how to get rid of that. You just still ignore and let it pass, like the other pain and all that, or just... Yeah, if I have listened to a talk or you say, come and say, that's Vivekanisita, Viraganisita, that good, you're doing it right. Or like, Yeah, what can you do for that?
Yeah, I mean, if you are listening,
it's like an anuvisaya kelesa.
No, the thing is, if you are listening to a Dhamma sermon and you are very much like you can understand that and you can relate that to your own practice, so that is a good thing. So you feel confident, that you feel confirmed that my practice is doing well. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean that you are now continuously thinking. Rather, you do a little short contemplation and you confirm your practice, you relate with your practice, and then you again calm down yourself. So always we have to have a kind of a warning within us that I need to calm down, I need to minimize proliferation. Because otherwise I keep thinking about various things.
So if it only happens at times, like like now recently it has been coming, not always.
Correct.
You need to say, is it good coming and agreeing that your method is right and going, or it shouldn't come?
We can't say it shouldn't come. It can come. We can't say that it shouldn't come. So if that is a proper, say, assume that you are practicing, and again that's a very good Dhamma sermon, and it is quite natural that you get really in line with the Dhamma sermon and you feel happy about the Dhamma sermon, you get very well connected to the Dhamma sermon, and you really appreciate the Dhamma sermon. It can happen. So it is one of the prominent quality Buddha described. So that is possible, that is all right. But the important thing is after that don't take it for a long time. More and more thinking,
it's
so
just
that
comes and agrees. Or
that's fine. That's all right.
Should have cut.
Yeah,
so
that's all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means it's like the wisdom to say that I'm on the right path.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Agreeing with that or
no problem.
Not thinking of that.
Yeah, that's right. So you listened and you agree, and it fairly have a good alignment with your own practice, and now you are happy about
it. You feel happy. That,
Yeah. That's quite natural.
That's okay.
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering whether it was like, how could you be in another empty state and the conscious also subconscious coming and talking? So that's why I want to find
a little bit of
what is the
relationship. A short thinking can happen. So it is not proliferation. It is very much like just mere few thoughts. It can
comments. That's what you listen to.
Yes.
He agrees or disagrees. Yes,
correct.
Like
Then again you calm down yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. That is possible.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Okay.
Devan Sarnai.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have spent a fair amount of time. Then we are going to wind up the session. So we have spent almost 2 hours today. So we will pass the merits what we have accrued to all the participants, to all the celestial beings, to all the past relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. We will recite the traditional verses. Ittavata chamhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sambe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata chamhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sambe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata chamhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sambe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu sasanang. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu desanang. Akasattha ca bummatta deva naga mahiddika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkantu mamparang. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamu. Satang samagamu hotu yava nibbana pattiya. ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤකම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බානපත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු